Bring out some outlines. We haven't done this in a little while. And I'm going to start tonight with a series on the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. And, of course, this is a familiar chapter. And so when you get these handed out, we'll read some verses here. And going to be dealing with the heroes. And thank God there are heroes that we can look to and can have joy in our heart, knowing that the Lord has given people the ability to stand fast, stand firm in the things of the Lord. And Hebrews chapter 11 gives us just a few of those men and women in the Scriptures that literally are heroes that stood for the Lord. And later on, at the end of the chapter, the writer says there's many more that could be listed and many that have not been put in this list. But this list will give you a full example of how God provides and how that He supplies the every need. So turn in your Bible tonight to Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll read these first three verses and then sort of get started. Now, we'll not get into any particular person tonight, but we will look into what we call the introduction of these things. And so, Hebrews chapter 11, let's read together verse number 1, 2, and 3. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." These three verses here of chapter 11 are very important pivotal verses concerning our faith. Hebrews chapter 11 is primarily, the subject matter is faith, and gives us some things here, and then gives us the examples of faith through the rest of the chapter, and how that they underwent many trials and persecutions and troubles, but yet were able to endure because of the faith that they had in the Lord Jesus Christ. This chapter, as we know, is known as the Hall of Fame for the believers. It's known as the chapter of the great faith, written to Hebrew Christians. And when you study the book of Hebrews, and I say this every time I turn to Hebrews for anything, when you study Hebrews, you must remember that it's written to Christians. If you keep that in your mind and keep that in the forefront, some of the problem verses and some of the passages will no longer be a problem. It's written to Hebrew Christians, and they were living in difficult times. We think we live in hard times. We think we live in difficult times. But it's certainly nothing like what they had in that first early church, the first century. And they were moving from the economy of the law and the prophets and were moving to the thoughts of living by faith. And of course, living by faith was an Old Testament teaching also, but it's not as predominant in the Old Testament as it is the New Testament. These folks were leaving Judaism, and they were turning to Christ, and they were leaving the old way of thinking, how that they were told by the Pharisees they had to keep certain aspects of the law, and here Jesus is on the scene, and they've accepted Him. And the Apostle Paul has reaffirmed now these years later that if we live by faith. We do not live by works. We live by the faith that is in us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that transition, period of time, transitional time, was not an easy time for believers, for the Christians. And they had difficulties understanding all the things that were put before them. And I guess it was last Wednesday we dealt with some things, how that even in those early churches, how that the Jews would try to come into the church and say that they had to that were saved by faith, but you have to do some things along to help that along by the works of the law. And so this book, and especially this chapter, is written to the Jewish Christians to encourage them and to encourage them in their walk with the Lord. And I guess some of the best encouragement that any of us can have is to think about what's happened in days gone by. I think that's why history is so very important, because if people could do it in harder times than what we have, if people could love the Lord and people could serve the Lord in this condition, then I can serve the Lord. It's an encouragement. If people of the Old Testament that did not have all the teaching that we have, did not have the Scriptures revealed to them as we do, if they could live for God, surely, with as much as I know and as much as I have, surely I can live for God. And so the writer of Hebrews, he takes us back and talks about the elders, talks about the patriarchs, those that had lived before, those saints of the past. And those are great examples that we have that we can rely upon and can depend upon. And so we find that he deals with this. And we find in verse number 2, it says, the elders obtained a good report. Those elders were those that lived before. Those elders were the saints of the past, and how that they lived by faith. And if they could live by faith, so could these folks. And if they can, so can we. And so it's a continual process. Hebrews chapter 11 is a continuation of really chapter number 10. As you read the latter part of chapter 10 and go into 11, it's a complete thought. We find that in verse number 38 of Hebrews chapter 10 says, now the just shall live by faith. And so here Paul, I believe Paul, some disagree with that, but the writer of Hebrews, the Holy Spirit, calls our attention to the just shall live by faith. The justified, the saved, you and I tonight, we live by faith, not by sight. And this is a little phrase that I have listed here that's it's used four times in the Scripture. It's found in Habakkuk 2:4, Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, and then here Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, the just shall live by faith. So it's an Old Testament teaching, and it's a New Testament teaching. And as we've stated so many times, people that were saved in the Old Testament, they were saved just like we are. They became safe in the Lord by their faith in the Son of God that would come, by the Messiah that would come. They didn't necessarily know exactly all the details, but they knew Jesus was going to come. They knew a Messiah was going to come. God was going to send His Son. And by faith, they accepted that. And the Scripture tells us, especially in Abraham, that faith was accounted unto him for righteousness. And so this that we have here is faith. It's not some wishful thinking. It's not some premonition. And the sad thing about it is so many people, when they talk about faith, they're talking about something they really have no idea what it is. They talk about faith in a way that it's some type of a hope that we have, or a wishful thought that we have, and we hope it happens, and by faith we sort of think it might take place, but that's not what faith is. Faith is not a premonition of what's going to happen. Faith is believing what the Word of God has told us and relying upon that and acting upon that. So faith is the belief of the Word of God as it is true, and it will accomplish what He has set out for it to do. That is faith. We just simply believe the Word of God. And in this 11th chapter of Hebrews, we have the testimony from God as to how these great patriarchs acted when they believed God. As they believed the Lord, it dictated how they responded to certain situations. And these actions also brought about consequences. And as we live for the Lord, as we serve God, it will bring about the consequences also, some good, and then some not so good. You'll read some of these folks, they had some hard times because of their faith. They had some difficult days because some of them lost their lives because of their faith. But they're listed here in God's Hall of Fame, and that means a whole lot, that God would make recognition. God now is giving His testimony concerning these people. He is testifying as to their faithfulness. God is giving to us through this writer and inspiring to him that we now know how they lived and how that they accomplished the things that they do. And one of the consequences of faith is to produce a conviction in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we have faith, that means we have a conviction and we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and we have that conviction based upon us by the Word of God. Now, a conviction is something that is not negotiable. It's something that you don't try to make it usable for everyone. If we have a personal conviction about something, that means we just believe it regardless of what is said, regardless of what is done, regardless of the threats or the warnings that might be given to us, we still stand upon the evidence of the Word of God, the conviction of God's Word, that it is true. So faith will bring about a strong conviction. Psalm 116, verse 10, the psalmist says, "I believe, therefore I have spoken." Well, that's a tremendous verse. I believe, therefore I have spoken. And that just simply means we say what we believe. And if we believe it, we should say it. And so David, the psalmist, the writer of that psalm, he says, "I believe, and therefore I'm speaking what I believe." That is a conviction that we have, a strong persuasion. Look at verse number 1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now this book here is substance. It's something you can handle. It's something you can pick up. It's something you can put in your hand. I have up here, here's a cassette tape. That is substance. And so the Scripture says that faith will give us substance, something that we can depend on, and something that we can build upon of a foundation. So this substance here means foundation. It's a legal term, really, that means that we can verify ownership. It's sort of like what we call a title or a deed to property. If you have a title, if you have a deed to your property, then you have a firm conviction that that property is yours. If you have a clear title, and that's why when you buy property, you usually have to hire a lawyer, and they do a title search, and they go through all the background and the history of that property and that deed to make sure it's clear, that there's no outstanding debts against it, and there's not some some heir somewhere that might come in and say, "I'm partial owner of this, and you have no right to that." And you do all that title search and deed search to rest assured in your mind that when you pay for it, it's yours. And therefore, nobody can say anything against that. And so the faith here will persuade us, and the substance that we have because of faith will give us such a strong foundation that we can verify this is what we believe, this is why we believe it, and therefore we stand upon "thus saith the Lord." It's not what somebody else says, it's what God says. It's not what somebody else says about the Bible, but it's what the Bible says about itself. It's the evidence of things hoped for. It's the foundation, it's the substance of things, the foundation that is hoped for. And it confirms us, and the confirmation is given to us in evidence in things not seen. Faith will help us to see the invisible. Faith will help us to do the impossible, yes. But to do the impossible, sometimes we have to see what's out there that is invisible to us. And we find that evidence, the things not seen, this substance and evidence are closely related. God's Word is the best evidence we have. Somebody will come to you and say, "How can you tell me for sure that you're going to heaven?" The only thing we have is the evidence of the Word of God. I mean, I can't prove that I'm saved. I can't put on a piece of paper a formula that would let everybody know that I'm going to heaven. But I am thoroughly convinced in my heart, and I build upon the foundation that my faith in Jesus Christ will sustain me and will take me to glory because what the Bible says. So we find that our faith is dependent upon the Scripture. Dr. Harry Arnside, this a writer from days gone by, He made this statement. It says, faith is what God has declared, gives the soul absolute assurance and a firm conviction of the reality of things which the natural eye has never seen. It is God's word. It is God that has declared to us, and therefore we have absolute assurance. Well, thank God for absolute assurance. We have that assurance and that firm conviction. Dr. Ironside used the same word there that I mentioned a while ago. It's a conviction. And he said it is a conviction of the reality of things that the natural eye cannot see. And so we find here that the faith that we have is based upon the Word of God. That's why it's very important for us to understand that we do understand why there is so much controversy about the Word of God. That's why we need to understand why there is so much trouble around this book we call the Bible. Because if it can be destroyed, then we have no faith. And if we have no faith, we have no foundation. And if we have no foundation, we're on sinking sand. And so it all comes down to the inerrancy of the Scriptures, the Word of God that we have, and confirming to us that we have truth given to us in this book. Now let's notice verse number 2. For by it, what's the word it there? This faith that's hoped for, the things that are given. For by it the elders obtained a good report. The saints of the past. Thank God for the Scripture that tells us they lived by faith. Thank the Lord tonight that we have these heroes that are spoken of in the rest of this chapter that confirm to us that we can live for God. That we can have a foundation, we can have a conviction, we can have a belief settled upon God's Word that we can live for Him and we can do it by faith. These are the ones that are spoken of in this chapter, the saints of the past, the elders, those that have already gone off the scene, those that have already lived their life for God and the Lord called them home, and now their testimony is recorded here in the Scripture by the Holy Spirit, and it is given to us that we might be able to live by faith and that we can walk as they walked. There are examples of the faithful, and they cover all kinds of the walks of life. I listed a few here. Verse number 4 tells us about Abel. He was a shepherd, more than likely. He kept the fields, the flock. And we find Abraham. The Bible tells us that he was a foreigner looking for a country. He was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. And yet the Bible says he lived by faith. You have the lady by the name of Sarah that was a barren lady that had no children and who doubted the Word of God. But yet she's listed here in this chapter of faith because it was worked in her life. You have Joshua as a soldier in verse number 30. Rahab was a prostitute in verse number 31. She's listed and we know her background. And every time you hear the lady's name Rahab, you immediately think about the type of life that she lived. But by faith she was changed and she believed God. And she's listed here in this great hall of fame of the Lord. You have Gideon that the Scripture tells us in verse number 32. He was from a very lowly family, and he wasn't strong. He wasn't somebody outgoing, but he's listed here. And David was a king, and Moses' parents were very obscured, and they were nothing more than slaves, but yet God saw their faith. So these people that are mentioned in this chapter cover a whole variety of people. It covers all kind of different folks. You can be a king and have faith. You can be a slave and have faith. You can be the lowliest of an individual like Rahab was and still can have faith. You can have all the activities and the kind of workers. You can be a foreigner. You can be a servant. You can be a shepherd. You can be a soldier or whatever it is. You can be all those things. But yet, thank God that faith can still find in our lives a foundation that we can build upon. these folks are told to us in verse number 2 that they obtained a good report. Well, that's a tremendous statement. It says here, for by it the elders obtained a good report. They had a testimony. That report is given to us. It's recorded in the Old Testament. But for the sake of those that wouldn't read the Old Testament, it's sort of capsulized here in Hebrews 11, gives us all sorts of people that had faith and they obtained a good report. Now God is giving His testimony concerning these folks. He is giving what He thinks about them. He's giving what happened in their life. And He is showing that they lived by faith. The principle here of praising the Lord is, of course, faith. God gives the praise based on faith. God doesn't deal in things like we do. Another author, another book writer by the name of Arthur Pink, he said it this way, is not by their admirability or sincerity or earnestness or any other natural virtue, but by faith that the ancients or the elders obtained a good report. It wasn't what they did, it's who they served. It wasn't the good things they did, it wasn't all the things that they could be given, but he said they could be earnest and they could be sincere, but that's not what obtained a good report for them. They could have had all these virtues natural virtues, but it was their faith that put them in this particular passage of Scripture. They are listed here because God is testifying as to who they were and testifying as to what they accomplished. Those of our day, there's many people praised long and loud. They better enjoy the praise they get today because that's all they're going to have. But it's the nobodies. It's the folks that really don't capture the attention of the world that gets the praise from the Lord. These folks that are listed here, some of them are very obscure, not a whole lot of things said about them. But we find that the Lord took note of them. And so those that are praised now, that's all they're going to get. This past week, the United Nations met and had all the world leaders there and rulers, and they pranced in and they made their show. And they look so important. And they think they are important. I mean, they got it all fixed up. They pat themselves on the back and say, look who I am. Well, they better enjoy that praise, because I'm afraid they'll never be listed in God's Hall of Fame. It is not what we do. It's not how we are, what we're doing in our life. It's the nobodies. It's those that have seemingly no recognition. It is those that will receive the blessings of the Lord, and they will be living for God, and they're the ones that's blessed of the Lord, and they are the ones that God will smile upon and bless when all the rest of the world goes its merry way and pays no attention, but yet God knows us. We may never have our name in lights. We may never be known of the world, but I'm glad I'm known of God. And that's by faith. I didn't get God's attention by being a good fella. I didn't get God's attention by doing a lot of good things. God got my attention one day and called me by His grace. And now through faith we have eternal life through Him. So these first two verses lay a strong foundation. Faith is the substance, conviction of things hoped for. It's the evidence, the foundation of things not seen. For by it, that faith, for by it the folks in the Old Testament, the elders, the past saints, they received a good report. I can think of some elders, past saints, that I think have got a good report. I can think of those in my personal life that influenced me in my work and serving the Lord, and they've already gone on to be with the Lord, but they've obtained a good report. They have a good report in my mind. I can think of old saints of God in churches that I've been in, and my home church, and those folks that love God and serve God all those years. Boy, they obtained a good report. Now, the world didn't know them. Even the people next door to them in the next county didn't know them. And probably people just down the road didn't know a whole lot about them. But I'll tell you what, God knew them. And they obtained a good report because of their faith in the things of God. Now look at verse number 3. This is a tremendous verse. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, when you first read that, you say, my, that's hard to understand. Well, let's sort of break it down tonight, because it says, through faith we understand. Through faith we have a knowledge. And by the way, faith will give us an understanding that nobody else can give us or nothing else. You can read books and it'll not give you that kind of understanding that the Holy Spirit can give you. You can read passages of folks' writings, and I love to read men like I've quoted tonight. They had an insight to the Scripture. One of my favorite writers is that man, Arthur Pink. I'm telling you, he had an insight in the Scripture that's tremendous, but he still doesn't reach where this goes. He still doesn't go as far as the Word of God. But we find here that through faith, now here's the vehicle that God uses. Through faith we understand. There's things that the world cannot. That's why that the world is always clamoring about, where did the earth come from? How did it happen? What brought it about? And they'll spend millions and millions and billions of dollars trying to figure out how the earth got here. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. That's not hard. Not if you have faith. Now, if you don't have faith, that's a foolish statement. If you don't believe and trust the Word of God, if you don't have that kind of faith, then that statement there is just totally off the wall and insignificant, and that's just archaic. But faith gives us a perceptive mind that the things that are mentioned we can understand. And we can have a working knowledge of what took place in days gone by. The word understand means to perceive with intelligence. Well, there's a lot of folks up there, a lot of folks everywhere that we have voted for, they do not have any understanding. Understanding is to perceive with intelligence. And that tells you how smart they are. Faith is the vehicle of spiritual perception. Again, Arthur Pink. Faith is that vehicle that God uses that we can understand those things that nobody else can. Without faith, the Word of God, faith in His Word, we're never going to understand. And the writer of Hebrews brings out this. He could have used any subject. But I believe he brought out an important subject for us to understand, and that's called creation. Now, there's a battle going on even in our country, and has been for years, and it'll continue to go on. There is a battle that goes on about this thing of creation. There's a lot of people that call themselves Christians that have a crooked view, a slanted view of what creation is and how it took place. But if you just read the Bible, you'll understand creation. Now, they've spent billions of dollars on the Hubble telescope so they can look farther into the universe and see if they can find out where we came from. They put, just recently, they went up again and they went to the Hubble telescope and they put some new equipment on it, and now the pictures are high-def pictures, high-definition. And they are amazing. They're good. But you know, they're not looking at that. They're trying to find a world out there that's just like ours.
Because if this happened one time, surely it happened again.
And so they're spending billions of dollars, manpower, and they're teaching our children and teaching a generation of people not to worry about God, not to think about God, because it just somehow happened out there. And it seems as though the the Big Bang Theory or the explosion theory is the number one thought of how we all came into existence. Well, an explosion takes order and makes it chaotic. Creation took chaos and put order in it. It's just opposite. Why, that theory of explosion is just as reasonable to say that we could take a bomb and put it in a print shop and let the thing go off and out jumps a dictionary. Just as reasonable. I mean, that's just as reasonable as what they tell us. But we find here that through faith we understand how the worlds were framed. We understand that it's framed by the Word of God. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. The Word here in creation is the Word of God. We believe, I teach, and I believe most folks of our circles believe, that when God said, it happened by the Word of God. Now I know John chapter 1 talks about the Word of God. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word was in the beginning with God. And that that word that's translated, word comes from logos. It means word, means spoken or written or incarnate. Well, when the apostle uses here the word, he uses a different, it's not logos that he uses. He uses a word that is given to us in a very limited way. It means spoken word. And so therefore we believe that the worlds came into existence by the spoken word of God. 10 times in the book of Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says, God said. I just happen to believe God said. I just happen to believe God audibly said, let there be light. And there was light. And so we that have faith, we believe what God says. The work of creation, the worlds were framed. When you frame something up, you're putting it in order. You take a bunch of 2x4s out there and you frame up a wall, you're laying those 2x4s in order and putting them together so when you raise that, you have the wall. Now, those 2x4s out there just laying around, they're just sticks. And if you leave them there, they'll rot and they'll deteriorate and they'll decay. But if you frame them together, that means you have something that you can raise up and have a wall. Over here in the gym, the students are framing up the jail. We've had those sticks for years and years and years. When it's all over, they'll take the screws out and they'll put them back upstairs in the storage room, and they'll be there for next year. And they're just a bunch of sticks. But now they're framing them together, and they're standing them up, and they're putting screws in them. They're putting them to the wall, and they have a jail. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed, put together by God, framed by the spoken, audible Word of God with design and purpose. He put it together so that the things which are seen were made of things. I didn't write it all down right. So the things that were not made of things which do appear. When God created, He brought something out of nothing. Now I've heard some folks say, well, this man has created this. No, he hasn't created anything. He has taken a substance that's there and made something else, but he hadn't created it. When you create something, that means you take nothing and
and you make something out of it. And God took nothing, and He framed the world together.
And we have it as an old earth that we live upon, and faith believes that. Believes that the world was spoken into existence without the need of anything already present, because there wasn't anything present except God. Only God can make something where there is nothing. Only God can create. Only God can frame it together. And so the writer here says that faith is the substance. It's the evidence. It's the foundation. It's the conviction that we believe certain things. I have a conviction in my heart that creation was a literal 7-day, 6-day, 24-hour process of creation. And when God said, let it happen, it happened. We believe in a literal creation. We believe in a young earth. Or I do. I can't say we. I believe in a young earth. I don't believe it's billions and billions and billions of years been since the explosion happened. Now, God could have made it billions of years old to look that way, and He may have. But we believe in a literal creation by God. And by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed together. That God took the things which are seen, and they were made out of things that were not seen. We believe that. Now, you take the normal, everyday PhD teacher in college, they'd look at you like you're crazy. They would want to put you in a straitjacket to say anything like that. But by faith, we believe that. And we say, well, why can't they understand that? Why can't they believe that? Because the natural man receiveth not the things that are spiritual. He does not have the ability. He cannot. And he looks at us and say, what boat did you get off of? Where did you come from? Why, we have done away with that theory and that thought years ago. No, but they haven't done away with this. This standeth sure, firm foundation forever. And by faith, we believe. By faith. Now the rest of the chapter, chapter 11, that we'll be looking at for a few weeks, is God's testimony of people believing, just believing God, and putting faith to the test and trusting in the Lord. Next week, Lord willing, we'll look at a man by the name of Abel and the faith that he had. He didn't survive, but he still had faith. He didn't make it. His brother killed him, but he had faith. And he has a testimony now in that great chapter of a man of faith. May the Lord help us to have faith and obtain the same good report that the elders obtained, that they believed God. And they believed what God said and the creation and the works of the Lord. Let's stand together.